We all can use some encouragement, and we'll gain it today from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, all about undeserved hope. It is so good to welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Dr. Don Wilton's Encouraging Word broadcast. And we'll be diving into God's Word in just a moment, especially about this sense of hope. You know, I understand we can live without water for a certain amount of time, air for a certain amount of time, but the reality is we cannot live at all without hope. And the hope we have in Christ, oh my goodness, there's an awful lot that Dr. Don's going to be unpacking for us in just a minute. But we want you to know that as he unpacks this message, we stand ready to connect with you keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org and also on this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Have you ever gotten to the point in your life where you look at your own life and you say, why me? Why would God have been so good to me? There's a verse of scripture that I want to give to you that's got nothing to do with any verse we're about to study today. It's actually found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, in which Paul says this, but God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Isn't that a great verse? This message today essentially is about that very verse. But God commends his love to us in that while we were, in that despite the fact that we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That's undeserved. My friends, you and I deserve the penalty of sin. We deserve to be separated. We deserve to die. But because God loves us so much, he gave us Jesus Christ. This is our hope. This is my hope. This is your hope. So I'm going to speak to you today on undeserved hope. This is our theme. This is what it's all about. And we're going to begin today. I'm only going to read to you a few verses, but you need to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 11. Now, I've never been asked to preach a message that covers 40 years, but I am today. Because from Numbers 11... all the way through to Joshua 1, we discover a group of people called the Israelites, God's chosen ones, wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. And remember, we've determined that the journey is as important as the destination. Now, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. I know that one day, when I die, I know that I'm going to heaven. So for those of you who will stand at my funeral one day, I just want you to know I won't be in that box. You can look at me all you want to, and the funeral directors can fix me up all they want to. In fact, if I had my druthers, I would really like to be buried in this outfit, because I think I look jolly good, don't you? But I'm not going to be in that box. I'm going to be in heaven because I've given my heart and life to Jesus. But I'm not there yet. I've got 7 grandchildren. I would like to see all of them and the 10 who are still to come to get married. You see, I want to be there, but and I want to live. I've got to get there. I've got to still journey. And in that journey, there's all kinds of things that I don't know about, ups and downs. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I don't know how I'm going to negotiate the turns in the road and the ups and the downs, but I know that the negotiator is on my team. I don't know how I'm going to face the battles of life, but I know the one who has guaranteed me victory. God has commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So from Numbers chapter 11 all the way through to Joshua chapter 1, the story is about a people who had this relationship with God. God had done incredible things. Now, I want you to just think about this. They crossed a sea. Hello! I challenge any of you tomorrow, not today, to go down to Myrtle Beach and say, I want to get to England now. There's a good cricket match going on and I need to get there now. I need to be delivered. I challenge you to see that sea part. God did it. Here was an entire nation. They were set free. God demonstrated himself to them. They marched across the other side. They looked over their shoulder. They saw what happened to the people who opposed God. They were wiped out from the face of the earth. And the moment they set foot on the other side, they began to complain. And then Moses said, no, wait a minute. We're not going to stay here on the other side of the sea. And so they began to move on and they got to another place and there was no food. And so they said, we need food. They began to complain. They even said, listen, back there in Egypt, we had a lot of food. At least we didn't starve. They killed us, but that didn't matter. They tortured us, but that doesn't matter anymore. We're hungry. There's a lot of people over the years who have said, give me death rather than hunger. It's a human plight. And they complained like crazy, and God said, don't you worry about a thing. And so he gave them manna out of heaven. I've been right there where it happened. And food just fell out of heaven. And they ate. They had everything. And as soon as their tummies were full, someone tell me what they began to do. Oh boy, did they fuss. Have you ever watched people in a restaurant in America? Have you ever been with someone, every time they are served with food, they pick it apart, look at it, move it around, turn their noses up, and then complain about something? You ever been with someone? I know it never happens in our city, but I'm talking about obviously in lesser places like Chicago and that, and New Orleans, where my other son lives. They complained. They wanted something better. Oh, by the way, they looked around, there were no Coke machines anywhere. They were all in the desert there. They all had their quarters in their pockets. They didn't leave home without them. They wanted, one fella probably wanted a Diet Coke real badly. They were so thirsty. God said to Moses, just go tap that rock over there. You mean a rock? By the way, has anybody seen a rock filled with water? I haven't. I want you to just think about how ridiculous this is. So Moses goes there, it's a long story, and he hits the rock, and guess what comes out of the rock? Water. Anyone here who thinks that God cannot produce water out of a rock? And as soon as they drank, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this, but they start to grumble again. I just want to speak to you for a few minutes about undeserved hope, because you want to know the end of the story? God still showed his favor upon them, especially those who realized that God was not going to be very pleased with their complaining. In fact, the Bible is going to tell us something pretty tough. God was not only displeased, he became very angry with them. There are some here today who may think that God doesn't get angry when it comes to our sin. He does. So just a few verses, and I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And the people complained in their hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. When the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord. I love this part. And the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. May the Lord write this word upon our hearts. Please be seated. just right out front, I've got to do this. Now, I want to give you three facts about God's people, and then I want to give you three warnings issued about God's people. Three facts about God's people, right here in the context of God's story. Number one, fact number one, Egypt was not a nice place to be. Egypt was not a nice place to be. Here's what God showed me in my heart. This is a fact. Fact number one, Egypt was not a nice place to be. It is not a nice place to be when you're in bondage, my friends. Some of you are in bondage. You're living in war zones. Sin has taken over your life. You're not happy, are you? You have moments of happiness. You're happy when something goes well, or you're happy when you get a good meal. You're happy on occasions, but it's very short-lived. Egypt was not a nice place to be. People were being tortured. Their hearts were being ripped apart. The picture of Egypt is a picture of a people in bondage, just like America today. Fact number two, food was not a stone's throw away. That's a fact. They were in a desert. I got a lot of good memories about deserts because I spent quite a lot of time in the Namib and Kalahari deserts of Southwest and Central Africa. A lot of our people have been in a lot of desert regions. Deserts are interesting places, and if I had time to talk to you about it, it's very interesting. Very foreboding. Food is not a stone's throw away. In my experience, we used to do crazy things like sacrifice a little bit of what we called bully beef, and we'd put it out and we'd capture baboons, because baboons are in the desert, and we'd capture baboons. One baboon, I remember capturing him, and we tied him up and we fed him little pellets of salt, army issue salt. By the time the sun came up in the desert, his tongue was, let's say, a little larger than what it usually was. And when he got up in the morning and we got up with the sun and we set Mr. Baboon free, I can guarantee you where he took us. Your pastor has personally trudged after a baboon across a desert because I knew he was going to lead me to food and water, and I needed it in a desert. Now, I'm not going to tell you what we did to the baboon when he got there, but I am going to tell you a fact about what we're reading about, and that is that not only was Egypt not a nice place to be, but food was not a stone's throw away. And number three, bad leadership can bring a great nation to its knees. That's the third fact. Bad leadership can bring a great nation to its knees. Are you listening? This 40-year journey is replete with men who occupied leadership positions who rose up and grumbled among the people and who led them in the wrong direction. And it took a real man of God to stand up. So here are just three very, very basic facts in this story. This 40-year story. Egypt was not a nice place to be, and food was not a stone's throw away, and bad leadership can bring a great nation to its knees. This was a great nation, folks. I didn't even read it to you, but I mean, it begins right there in verse 4 of chapter 11, and you're reading this as you go through the story. I mean, verse 4 is interesting. Now, the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. It's an interesting word. Now, the rabble among them had a strong craving. In fact, when you get on into this passage, for example, when you get into chapter 12, you even discover that great people like Miriam and Aaron had their moments, just like all of us. When I began to read this, I thought of how many times I have begun to grumble or moan or complain. And because I've done that, somebody else has been affected by it. Do you know, I want every husband to look at me here. Every dad, every husband, just look at me, guys, because I'm one of you. Every time you and I treat our wives disrespectfully, do you know what you've just said to your daughter? Do you know what we've just said to our sons? So why are you behaving like that? I know I may be getting... Bad leadership can bring a great nation to its knees. So I'm so proud of so many of our people, our young people. And I tell you, folks, God is doing something. All right, that's three facts. Here are the three warnings. Warning number one to God's people in this context. Warning number one, bad memories can easily fade with fresh challenges. I just want you to soak this in. I'm not speaking in parables here. Bad memories can easily fade with fresh challenges. Notice, remember point number one, fact number one, Egypt was not a nice place to be. It's amazing to me that these people who were so blessed that God had done so much for them, and they kept on saying, we would rather go back to Egypt. You want to go back to Egypt? Bad memories can easily fade with fresh challenges. Warning number two, full stomachs can easily remove the memory of hunger pangs. That's why it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. If you are a person of means, you are going to be a living terror to pay attention to what God is saying to you. If you've got a beautiful house and a wonderful motor car and you are blessed and you've got camps and go on holidays and you don't have to think about any needs, it is going to be much harder for you. And there's a reason, because full stomachs can easily remove the memory of hunger pangs. Someone said to me one time, don't ever forget from whence you came. Some of the greatest people in the world are those who never forget the undeserved hope that comes in Christ. So here's the third warning. Small doses of negativity can ruin large crowds of people. Small doses of negativity can ruin large crowds of people. Now, I find that when I cook. Between you and me, I think I am a fantastic cook. People from all over the world would want to eat my burnt chicken. And by the way, I hope I'm not letting anyone down. I know real men don't do tubs, but I'm going to tell you something. I love to get alongside my wife. If it wasn't for my wife, she does it all. But I like to get out there. I particularly love to barbecue. I suppose both men, most men do. You know, it is amazing how just a dab of that or a dab of this can ruin an entire meal. Have you noticed that? And I don't know why it keeps happening to me. Folks, I can put some of the biggest time and effort into preparing something. Let me move on from that because I'm going to ruin my reputation. But if my wife does it, she gets everything, it's like just right. If I want a sandwich, I can go home, get myself a really nice sandwich with tomato and lettuce and just the way that I like it and put it all together, and it's just a nice big old sandwich on grain bread and I just love it and it's scrumptious. When I make it, it's a sandwich and it's good. But if my wife makes it, it is over the top, man. I mean, delicious. She just knows how to put it together. Watch this third warning, folks. Small doses of negativity can ruin large crowds of people. All it takes is one person in your family to behave badly. And I'll guarantee you it'll affect the entire vibe in your family. That's the picture we've got here. So look at the facts. I'm just going to give you the facts. Here are the facts of this. Number one, the people complain. That's verse 1. Any further questions about that? They complained. They did. And you're going to read that on and on. Just complained. They just complained. They just grumbled. Number 2, the Lord was listening. Bible tells us very clearly. It says they complained in the hearing of the Lord. Just as a matter of interest, do you know every time you and I turn our backs on God's blessings, He's watching and He's listening. The Lord was listening. Number three, God became angered. God became angered. That's what the Bible says. Now, folks, I didn't even read the real tough stuff. I promise you, when you get through this passage from here until Joshua 1, God didn't kind of ho-hum their sin repeatedly. God became angry. God hates sin. God will not tolerate sin. Number four, fire came down. When the people sinned, God sent the fire. Fire came down. There were consequences. Number five, the people cried out. That's in verse 2. Love verse 2. Then the people cried out. That's what's happening all across America today. People are crying out to the Lord. Number of times in my own life that I've found myself before holy and a righteous God, and I've been complaining, and I'm discontent, and I'm out of whack. And all of a sudden, God gets a hold of my life, and it starts getting hot because God sends the fire down. The people cried out. Number six, Moses prayed to the Lord. Moses prayed to the Lord. I love that in the second part of verse 2, and Moses prayed to the Lord. We spoke about that a little bit last week, and this is going to be a recurring theme. Now, I want you to just understand what's going on here, folks. This is fantastic. This is God's work. This is what the story is all about. This is undeserved hope. This is my hope. This is your hope, because it's about a God who loves us and who provided the way through the Lord Jesus, who went to the cross to die for us. For God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. People complained. The Lord was listening. God became angered. Fire came down. The people cried out. Moses prayed to the Lord. And point number seven, so God held the fire back. Now, I want you to show you something very interesting. The Bible here says, and the fire died down. Now, I've got to show, in the interests of full disclosure, God didn't take it away completely. You know why I don't think God took away the fire completely? Because there were still people who were not listening. Actually, during the 40 years, the fire shows up repeatedly. And what I'm saying to you today as your friend and your pastor, as you examine your own life in the light of this undeserved hope, because not one of us deserve the hope that we have in Christ. It's God's undeserved hope. These people didn't deserve it. And they'd been so blessed to boot. They'd seen the sea part. They'd been fed. They'd been delivered. And yet they still behaved like this. And yet God showed them such favor. Victory after victory. Moses cried out, the people cried out, the godly people cried out, and God heard their cry, and the fire died down. And time without number, we're going to see how God answers prayer and He removes the sting of the flame of sin from the lives of all who come before Him. And He gives to you and to me the victory. But the flickering spark of that fire remains because of those who refuse. And time without number during this journey, that fire suddenly ignites again. And God sends that burning fire down upon those who are not living according to His word, who are complaining against what He does for them, and who refuse to accept Him as the one true God. And so, what is the message of hope? Really, the message of hope is threefold. Message of hope, number one, God loves us. I love that, don't you? God loves us. Message of hope, number two, God hates sin. America, God hates sin. Number three, God gives us hope. And that hope is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That hope is in and through the Lord Jesus. Because God is commending his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's undeserved hope. And you know, the thing that is too wonderful for words is to think that God is long-suffering. It's not too late. You're never beyond God's reach. And he's extending his love to you. And for many, it's time to come home again. And if you want to know how to negotiate tomorrow, turn your life over to him. Because it's the rod of God that will give you the strength. And it is only through Jesus Christ that you have forgiveness of sin. And today I'm going to invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord.
Oh, how we would love to speak with you right now. Do it today. Give us a call. The number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we stand ready to pray you through whatever situation or circumstance you're in right now. Before we get away, though, won't you hear these closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news. And by the way, don't go away, because I'll be right back in just a minute.
The number again is 866-899-9673. And yes, it's first and foremost for prayer, but it's also for many of you that are getting resources, supporting the ministry of the Encouraging Word, and becoming what we call encouragers. Do you know what an encourager is? Here's more from Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
Before we get away, don't forget our number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or all the ways to connect, social media and more, or on our website at theencouragingword.org. Until next time, have a blessed day and join us again for more Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton.